The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
I'm Matt Jones. Along with me is Joe Fortenbaugh. We are here to get you through the next couple hours and talk about a big Monday after a huge weekend of NFL football. Of course, big news today, Dwayne Haskins has been cut from the Washington football team. And nevertheless, the football team will be playing for a spot in the playoffs in the NFC and a chance to go to the Super Bowl. And Joe, it was interesting over the weekend. I found if you look at the difference between the NFC and the AFC, some of it is about whether or not their contenders are playing the best football. Because right now, if you look at the NFC, the teams that I think are legitimate Super Bowl contenders all had a huge weekend. Of course, the Packers looked great last night in the snow against the Titans. Saints played excellent. Alvin Kamara breaking tying NFL records, an historic performance. Tom Brady, second most yards ever in the first half passing in a game with the Bucs. And then the Seahawks win against the Rams and look great as well. So four teams, in my opinion, all of which have a legitimate shot at the Super Bowl. Which one impressed you the most, and who would you say is the odds-on favorite today going into Week 17?
From an odds perspective, the NFC teams to win the Super Bowl, Green Bay 1 at plus 550, the Saints 2 at 7-1, the Seahawks 3 at 10-1, and the Buccaneers 4 at 12-1. And you're going to see a distinct edge right now for Green Bay for a few reasons. Most notably, the team that gets the bye is at a very strategic advantage this year more than any other year, because only one team is getting the bye and a lot of teams are running out of gas late in the season. Two teams, to answer the first part of your question, caught my eye equally: Green Bay and Seattle. And when we talk about Green Bay and Seattle, the conversation always starts with Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson respectively. But this time it's not about that for me. I know those guys can play. I know those offenses can score. What caught my eye is what those defenses have been doing as of late, because those have been the Achilles heel of both teams. Yesterday, the Packers held Derrick Henry to 98 rushing yards, his sixth lowest total of the season. He didn't score a touchdown for the first time in seven games. Green Bay's won 7 of 8. The first seven games of the season, they were giving up 27 points per game. The last eight games, they're giving up 20 points per game. I'm wondering, has this defense found something? And then on the same note, what about Seattle? The defense was historically bad to open the season from a total yardage and passing yardage standpoint. And in their last seven games, they've given up 23 to the Rams, 21, 17, 17, 3, 15, and then 9 yesterday to Jared Goff and the Rams. Now, Jared Goff injured his thumb. It's a divisional opponent. There's some familiarity there. But with the defenses playing the way they are in Seattle and Green Bay, Matt Jones, that's what stands out to me, because if those teams can play competent defense in the playoffs, going to be awfully tough to beat them once we get to January.
And especially when you consider the fact that if the defenses are just competent, you've got the two maybe most clutch, along with Patrick Mahomes, most clutch quarterbacks, period. What's interesting to me about the Packers specifically, and I think this is a hangover from last year, is there's for a franchise that is as historic and marquee as Green Bay, I feel like we've had two straight seasons where we haven't talked about them really at all during the year. Last year, they were way under the radar, had a great record, went to the playoffs, and showed maybe they should have been under the radar. Another year, oddly, I think we don't talk about the Packers as much. The games haven't quite been as much on everybody's radar, maybe because Brady has been in Tampa Bay. And I think there's a big part of me that has sort of assumed that they were fraudulent this year like they were last year. And then I watched last night, and I thought in the snow, I know teams allegedly from the South don't like playing in the snow, but it's not like these people live in these cities all the time. It's not a big deal. But I thought, especially with Derrick Henry, that's the kind of game for the Titans, right? It was never really competitive, except for a very short period of time. I think the Packers now, for me, are the favorites. But what I love about this is, in the AFC, we have questions about a lot of these teams. You know, is Lamar going to be better in the playoffs this year? Is Josh Allen ready? Is Big Ben too old? These four teams that we just mentioned have four dudes that we know what they are. We know they are superstars. And I agree with you. If the defenses for all these teams are just competent, then it becomes about those quarterbacks, and that's what I want to see, because these are four Hall of Famers. I want to see these four Hall of Famers, some of which are on their last ride, go at it. That's why I think the NFC is so compelling.
To answer your original question there regarding why we don't talk about the Packers as much over the last couple of seasons, despite what they're doing, because they're essentially the mirror version, the NFC version of the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're always around. They're always competitive. They are always there. We are so used to going into the postseason with the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers and the Pittsburgh Steelers and Ben Roethlisberger that we don't really wake up to it until we see them deep in the postseason. The problem for Green Bay, and this is something I've been talking about for a couple years because I find this fascinating, how are you going to go 30 years with Hall of Fame quarterback play and record just two Super Bowls? That's what they're looking at. When you make the transition from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers, every other organization in professional sports would kill to have a transition like that for the duration that they have been allowed to enjoy that much time of elite play at the most important position on the field, and yet only two Super Bowl wins. Do you consider that underperforming? Do you consider the Packers coming up short in that spot?
Yes, I do. Because if you look throughout history, how many times have you had that? San Francisco with Montana and Young. Who else has that?
You could have made the case, and it fell apart, but it was looking like it was going to happen in Indianapolis with Manning to Luck.
There was
going to be a lot of great quarterback play there, and then Luck retired.
That's a very good point. That would have potentially been the third. So if you go through all that and you only have two, it's an issue. But I actually think they legitimately can win it this year, and I am not the only one. Rex Ryan, who's ESPN's NFL analyst, he was on Get Up this morning, and he thinks the Packers are good enough to beat the Chiefs.
The Packer defense is not playing a little bit better. They're playing a hell of a lot better, okay. And they got that defense going. And quite honestly, when Green Bay takes this team down to Tampa for the Super Bowl, if the Kansas City Chiefs are there, Ryan, I think Green Bay is going to beat them. I like the way this team is. They're going like this. I don't see the same thing with the Kansas City Chiefs. And look, there's something about this team. And look, I don't want them to. Ryan, I've said all the whole season, I don't want the Packers to because they butchered the draft. But, man, my eyes are telling me that this is the best team
in
the NFL.
This team is.
It's interesting when you said a minute ago that the number one seed is more important. And this is the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio. Matt Jones, Joe Fortenbaugh. I agree with you about the bye, because the two seed doesn't get one this year. But what's interesting is after you get past that, it's probably never been less important because there are no fans. With no fans, something that would have been a huge advantage for Green Bay or even for Seattle, they don't have. So I think it's going to be about being kind of clutch down the stretch. And so I would ask you a question. With those four quarterbacks, Breeze, Brady, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, in that moment, are there any of those four guys this year you're worried about? Historically, they've all been able to do it. But are there any that you're worried about this year in that moment not being able to make the plays?
Brady and Breeze. No doubt Brady and Breeze. Not worried about
Rodgers.
Do you
believe that they won't be able to, or is it just that they've struggled this year?
I think I would say that I worry about their ability to do it consistently. I don't think they can't make the plays. I know Rodgers can make every single play he needs to make throughout the course of the game. Same with Russell Wilson. I worry about Breeze, and I worry about Brady. Don't be fooled. Brady and the Bucks looked fantastic against Detroit's D squad. All right, half the coaching staff was out for that game. The Lions have been abysmal for the 300th season in a row. That was a cakewalk, and the Bucks treated it exactly the way they should. But Tampa Bay has had a lot of problems firing from the gates this season. They are slow starters. Brady has missed open wide receivers, and it still feels like whatever Bruce Arians wants that offense to look like is very, very different from what Tom Brady wants that offense to look like. That game against Minnesota's defense that Alvin Kamara just carved up on Saturday, Brady had trouble hitting his targets early in that game. And that's been a theme this year. So I have concerns there. And then when you look at New Orleans, I have a lot of concerns about Drew Brees. He is very good at checking the ball down, but the vertical passing threat that he used to be no longer exists. And with Michael Thomas out until the playoffs, who knows what he's going to look like when they come back? I worry about New Orleans. The problems with Green Bay and Seattle have always been the defense. If the defenses can step up, that puts them over the top. But with Rex Ryan talking about them being the most dangerous team in the league, let me ask you this. The defense looks better, and statistically, they've been better. But how much of that is because of them and how much of that is because of their competition? Because look at who they've played the last 5 weeks. Chicago and Nick Foles, the Eagles and Carson Wentz, Detroit, Carolina, and then Tennessee. Not exactly the who's who of NFL offense.
No, that's a very valid
point.
You should
beat up on them.
That is a very valid point. I would note, of all the teams, I actually like Seattle the best. I'm not saying they'll win it, but I like the fact that now they have a running game, their defense is playing well, and those receivers, especially DK Metcalf, I mean, I think they're special. So I really like them. We'll see what happens. Now, I want to tell you something, Joe, that you, of all people, need to hear. Hindsight is 2020. And 2020 was a brutal year with a lot that we couldn't control. There was a pandemic, you may have heard of it, economy problems, unemployment. But what can we control? We can control our job and our career. And in 2020, My Computer Career helped more people start IT careers than ever. So don't look back with 2020 hindsight next year and see yourself in that 2020 job. 2020 hindsight and a 2020 job. You don't want that. Take control. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation. This isn't rocket science. It's just mycomputercareer.edu. Do it for me. Do it for Joe. Mycomputercareer.edu. Dwayne Haskins may be having to look at that after being let go by the Washington football team. But nevertheless, some of the quarterbacks who seemed to get the criticism he did in his early career have actually turned it around. And I think mostly of Josh Allen, who's playing tonight against the Patriots. And in my opinion, has the team most likely to beat the Chiefs in the AFC. Now, maybe I'll feel differently tomorrow. I have been unbelievably impressed with Josh Allen. Do you believe that the Bills are the team who can knock off Mahomes and the Chiefs, especially after they have struggled in the last 2 weeks and yesterday, maybe the worst performance from Mahomes in 2 years?
I believe they are a team that can knock off the Chiefs. I don't think it has to be limited to just one. I think they are a team. I worry about two things. One, the defense a little bit. And then number two, once they get to the playoffs, how are they going to handle themselves in crucial game management situations? Sean McDermott, very little playoff experience as a head coach. Josh Allen, very little playoff experience as a starting quarterback. We saw him last year botch it in Houston, but that's okay. That's a different team. That's a different time. You put it in the rearview mirror. But this is a different ballgame. This is a different animal when you get to the NFL postseason. And the mistakes are magnified. You've got to be razor sharp. So the inexperience of the Buffalo Bills in the playoffs would be the only thing that worries me right now about this team. But the way the quarterback is playing is a testament to how you go about developing that position in the NFL. Early on, Allen didn't look very good. He came out of Wyoming with some question marks, most notably accuracy, and most specifically, accuracy with the deep ball. He's answered all of that. But look at what Buffalo's done. In the 3 years Josh Allen has been with the Bills, he's had the same head coach, Sean McDermott, for all 3 years. He's had the same play caller and offensive coordinator, Brian Daboll, for all 3 years. And the team went out and made the offense better each and every year, giving him Stephon Diggs, the wide receiver from Minnesota, in a trade this offseason. That's what you do. You give the kid continuity. You exhibit patience, and then you build around him and give him the best possible opportunity to succeed.
They've been able to do that because he got a little better every year. Like, they realized Stephon Diggs was worth that draft pick. And by the way, you know, that draft pick ended up being Justin Jefferson. So it worked out for both teams.
Great move for Minnesota.
But you knew it was time to make that move because you had seen him play better. But what's interesting to me about the Bills is if everybody wins, you're going to get an AFC semifinal matchup, which is Bills Steelers. If it stays close to form. And the Steelers, to me, are the hardest team to figure out. If you watched the first half against the Colts, they look like a team ready to pack it in that couldn't beat anybody. Then in the second half, they look like a team that could win the Super Bowl. Mike Tannenbaum, who's ESPN's NFL front office insider, was on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin and said, look, the Steelers won, but there are big issues.
They still cannot run the ball. We all know the Pittsburgh Steelers about being a dominant team up front, tough, being able to run the ball, that AFC North mentality, and they're still struggling doing that. Now, look, Ben Roethlisberger made 3 or 4 throws yesterday that many people can't make. They have an incredible group of skilled players. They will be hard to defend in the playoffs. But, yeah, they needed a win. They had to take the noise down. And more fundamentally, I think the concerns on the other side of the ball, when you lose great players, Bud Dupree, Devin Bush, those guys are difference makers. And even though you still have T.J. Watt, it's not the same where they can double-team him on every snap. So Pittsburgh's going to be a hard out, but I think they've fallen back, and they are no longer – in the elite status of the AFC.
You know what I really like about Pittsburgh? I disagree completely with Mike that they're not in the elite of the AFC. But I like that they are win now no matter what. Perfect example. They lose Bud Dupree and to Key, and then they immediately go and bring in Avery Williamson from the Jets in a trade. Like they decide we are never going to wait. We're going to go get them immediately. And that's why I still think in a postseason game, even if it's against Buffalo, that's worth a few points, isn't it, Joe? This sort of the Pittsburgh winning mentality. To me, you can't say that they don't have a chance because of that.
No, absolutely not. And I think the biggest advantage for Pittsburgh at this point in the year is that in week 17, when they play the Browns, I don't see them playing any of their starters. If they're smart, they realize that one of the biggest problems they've had over the last month plus of the season is that they have run out of gas. They've run out of gas at quarterback, on offense, and on defense. They're a team that's had to play so many short week games because of other teams and their COVID issues that they look tired.
You think that's it? You think it's the sort of lingering? Because they never really got a full bye week because of that.
I think that's one of the big issues. So I think they go into week 17, they rest everybody, they give themselves 2 weeks to get ready for that first playoff game, and that gives them a better chance to win. However, I think Tannenbaum's right when he talks about their inability to run the ball. At some point, you have got to get the running game going just to keep the defense honest. They have a lot of drops at wide receiver. Roethlisberger's missed a lot of wide receivers this season.
Yes.
They've got issues. And again, in the playoffs, those issues are magnified. So once they go up against the cream of the crop, they're going to have to clean it up. The bye week's going to help. I don't know if it's going to be enough. I wonder about that game yesterday against Indianapolis. Did Pittsburgh come back and win it, in your opinion, or did Indy blow it? Because there's a case to be made either way, and Philip Rivers gave up two very easy scores to the Steelers in that game.
He did, but I do think, and it's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, Matt Jones, Joe Fortenbaugh, I do think Ben made some big plays down the stretch. As bad as he looked in the first half, he looked that good in the second half. But I want to focus what you mentioned on the running game. I don't really understand why it's so bad. I mean, James Conner and Benny Snell have both had really good moments this year. They've both had games where they looked really as two of the better combos in the league. And yet, starting like 3 weeks ago when they started losing, they can't even – they have no holes. They can't get a yard. It is amazing how the offensive line there has been able to get no push at all in the last few weeks. And you're right. You can't rely. Ben's not at the point of his career, Ben Roethlisberger, where you can rely on him to go win you a playoff game by himself.
No, and if you look at it right now, Pittsburgh, in terms of rushing, ranks dead last in the NFL.
That's amazing to me. How is that possible with this group?
That used to be them, right? They used to be with Jerome Bettis and Willie Parker. They were the team. Rashard Mendenhall was there for a little while. Shout out to the University of Illinois. 84.3 yards per carry, dead last in the NFL. That's Steeler football, physical football, run the football and play defense. They've gotten much more prolific at wide receiver over the last few years. But again, the drops, again, the mistakes in timing between Roethlisberger and the wide receivers. But I wouldn't write them off. I think the rest next week they get against the Browns, assuming that's what they do, and I think they'd be nuts to go out there and try to compete in that game. Just get everyone the rest they need so that when they hit the playoffs, they're ready to go. They're as dangerous as anybody. I know everyone wants to talk about Baltimore being the most dangerous team in the NFL right now. Let me tell you something. Baltimore's been playing nobody the last few weeks. All right? Harbaugh hasn't won a playoff game since 2012 when his team won the Super Bowl. And Baltimore has a very glaring weakness, which is they cannot play from behind. Same thing happened with Tennessee yesterday. They're so predicated on the running game with Derrick Henry, much like Baltimore is with Dobbins and Lamar Jackson and Ingram and everyone there, Gus Edwards, that when they fall behind, they can't run as much. And when they can't run as much, they need to start throwing. And Tannehill gets exposed in those spots, and so does Lamar Jackson. That's what's hurt him in the playoffs the last 2 years. So I'm not going to buy into Baltimore just yet because I need to see them consistently compete from behind. Because when they trail, they are completely off their game script moving forward the rest of the way out.
Well, the odds for the Super Bowl are very interesting. You've got the Chiefs plus 160, the Packers plus 550, Seahawks 10-1, Buffalo 10-1. So what we want to do is, if you were to bet on the Super Bowl right now, if you were to look at the odds and say, which team do I think gives me the most value and I would bet on them, who would they be? Give us a call. We will take and get your opinion. 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN. Give us a shout. What is the best value going into the playoffs on what looks like a Super Bowl that could be 8, 10 teams that really have a legit shot of going. That's next here on the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Hey, Ma, it is the Max Kellerman Show here on ESPN Radio. Matt Jones and Joe Fortenbaugh. I was, I think, a little too excited about that. When I hear a song on these intros that I know, it makes me very happy. This ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, and it is time for Straight Talk that is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. We said earlier that we were going to, we asked you, 888-SAY-ESPN, which of the Super Bowl odds do you like the most? Which team do you think is the best value to win the Super Bowl? Now, I'm going to go over these odds again. First of all, I want to start with the Chiefs are plus 160. Quickly, Joe, explain to people for maybe aren't gambling aficionados what plus 160 means.
Plus 160 means for every $100 you bet, you get $160 in profit in return if you win the wager.
There you go. And so that means they are the favorite. Packers are plus 550. Saints are plus 700. Seahawks are 10 to 1. Bills 10 to 1. Tampa Bay 12 to 1. Ravens 12 to 1. Steelers are 20 to 1. That's a high number to me. And Rams and Titans are 25 to 1. So we asked you, with those numbers, who would you take? And let's go to Dean in Lexington, Kentucky, God's country. Who would you take?
I got the Saints.
Why would you take the Saints? Plus 700. Why do you like that?
Well, what they did to the Vikings, I mean, 50-something points is insane. In addition, they only lost to the Chiefs by, what, three? So I would take my odds with them.
See, I appreciate the call. I like this. I like the Saints. I don't know if I like them at plus 700, but I like them, Joe, because you were talking about the Steelers and how you need to have a running attack, and you know you've got that with Kamara. I mean, you know he's going to be able to get you yards. And here's the thing. I still don't feel like the Saints have played their best, and even in not playing their best, they lose to the Chiefs by 3 points, and I feel like there's more to get with them.
When it comes to the Saints, there's nothing that they do poorly, right?
Right.
Like there's
right.
Not, like you won't look at the Saints and go, they're a terrible run defense, or they're a terrible pass defense, or they can't run the ball like Pittsburgh, or they can't throw the ball. You wouldn't say any of that. I think that's why a lot of people like the Saints. A lot of big names, a lot of big-time production, a great track record, and no glaring weaknesses. I worry about Drew Brees at this point in his career not being able to connect on the long ball like he did in the old days. It's a concern. I wouldn't say it's the end of the world, but it's a concern. I also wonder just a bit about the defense. This has been a fantastic defense for most of the season, but in the last 3 weeks, they gave up 24 points at Philly against a rookie quarterback making his debut start in Jalen Hurts. They gave up 32 to Kansas City, who is most definitely going to make noise in the postseason, and they just gave up 33 to Minnesota at home on Saturday night.
But that's a misleading one because they were up 3 touchdowns that whole game. I mean, that's a misleading. You got to assume their defense takes a nap at some points during that. Here's what I like about
it. It's a little concern as of late. They haven't been as staunch. That's it.
The weakness is throwing the deep ball. But when you have Kamara, I don't think that matters as much because they can stack the box and you still can't stop that dude. And I actually think that sort of takes off a little bit of the fact that he does struggle with the deep ball. 888-SAY-ESPN. You know, when these callers call and they're from Kentucky, Joe, doesn't it just warm your heart? Blue is from Kentucky as well. Where in Kentucky are you, Blue?
I'm from out in Taylorsville, Spencer County.
See, there you go. There's some outlet malls there, in case you were wondering, Joe. There's a lot of good stuff that you can get. Go ahead.
The best value is going to be the Tennessee Titans. But if you really want to make some money, you bet the Chiefs. They have an on and off switch, and I've never seen anything like it. Have a good one. Go Cats.
There you go. Go Cats. I like it. The Chiefs are the favorite, but the Titans 25 to 1. I mean, this is a team that was right there on the edge of making the Super Bowl last year. In theory, shouldn't be any worse. The receiver's a little better. Defense probably a little worse. 25-1, maybe? Is that spicy for you at all, Joe?
The problem with Tennessee is twofold. Number one, their pass defense is abysmal. They entered last night ranked 29th in the NFL in pass defense, and Aaron Rodgers carved them up in the snow. Number two, they're somewhat one-dimensional on offense in that if they don't play within one score or with the lead, they get exposed as a team that is too dependent on Derrick Henry. You saw it last night. Once they fell behind big, they had to go to the passing game on a more frequent basis, and that doesn't work for Tennessee. They're better off the play action. They're better running the ball with Derrick Henry, and when they trail, they aren't able to do that. Regarding the Chiefs and the on-off switch, I mean, just who am I to argue with such a brilliant statement from, as you said, God's country, the land of Kentucky.
That's exactly right. Listen, Spencer County, they're big Chiefs fans. Let's go to Andrew. Andrew is in Charlotte, North Carolina. Andrew, what do you got?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
I've got to say, you know, I like to go with the underdog normally, but I have to go with the Chiefs for this reason. They remind me of Clemson. Clemson emerged multiple times as national champions with some incredibly ugly games, but played when it mattered most, and that's what I see with the Chiefs, and I can't help but go with them.
You know, Andrew, that's actually a really good point, and I appreciate the call. It's the Clemson would lose to Boston College or Pitt or whoever they would lose, but they never lay an egg in the playoffs. Alabama rarely, they've done it once, but rarely lays an egg in the playoffs. Do you think the Patriots rarely lay an egg in the playoffs? Do you think the Chiefs are going to be that team that we sort of don't even care what they do during the regular season? You know they won't lay an egg in the playoffs.
Yeah, they've got a little bit of Golden State Warrior end of dynasty vibe to them where the regular season is just a formality. They know they need to go into the postseason and that's where it matters, right? They don't care if they play on the road. They know, look, after what they did in the playoffs last year, coming back from that deficit against Houston and then the next week against Tennessee and then against the Niners in the fourth quarter and winning those three games, your mindset is going to be that you can win from any situation anywhere on the planet. Put me anywhere on any given day with any deficit and we're going to win. That's their mentality, right? And I know they haven't looked, quote, as great lately. They're 14-1. They've won 10 straight. They're beating the opposition by an average of 8.5 points per game. Are you not entertained?
You think they're maybe a little bored? Like, they had that play yesterday. It's 4th-and-1. All you got to do is, you know, roll Mahomes out, and they decide to clap and spin around in a circle and then do, three handoffs and throw it to Mahomes down the field. There's a part of me that goes, when you're doing that on 4th-and-1, you're kind of bored. Like, you're trying to figure out a way to stay interested. I mean, when they all spun in a circle, I thought this is a group that needs to be challenged maybe a little bit.
Yeah,
no
doubt.
I think that could be part of it.
No doubt. Think about it like this. It's Atlanta. The mindset going into that game is they'll find a way to lose. We just need to present them with that opportunity. And that's what the Chiefs did. They presented Atlanta with a chance to lose that game. And guess what Atlanta did? What they do better than anybody else. They went out and they took advantage of that opportunity and they lost that game.
It's 888-SAY-ESPN. Let me just say, no Packers, folks. Like, do none of you believe that you're going to win the Super Bowl? Is there not one Packers fan willing to make the case? We're seeing the other teams. Where are you? Who knew folks in Green Bay were so timid this time of year? Joe in Dallas, Texas is not timid. What do you got?
All right, guys. Well, I agree. I mean, the Packers certainly at +500 is a good look. But I'm going to be taking, and I actually laid a bet on it this morning, the Ravens at 12-1. I just think they have momentum. They're playing great at the right time. An emergence of some new guys like Dez Bryant's looking good. Their defense is back. I just think at 12-1, I got to take a stab at that number.
There's been no team, and I appreciate the call, who in the last 2 years has disappointed more in the playoffs than the Ravens. Is this different? I mean, there's a case to be made that, look, they just haven't played anybody. They're looking good, but who are they playing? But there's also this, it sort of seems like people who are kind of bored trying to figure out something else are now calling on the Ravens. Are you one of those people?
They're 12-1. They're playing well as of late. They've got a lot of talent on both sides of the ball. It doesn't surprise me that people want to bet them. It doesn't surprise me at all because there's a lot of good reasons there. But on the flip side, Lamar Jackson's never won in the playoffs. Now, people will say, well, it's just two games. That's fine. I understand that. We don't have to make a big deal of it. But John Harbaugh hasn't won a playoff game since 2012. We're talking almost 10 years since John Harbaugh's won a playoff game. His teams flame out. And Baltimore operates a high wire act on offense with Lamar Jackson. If they fall behind, they are in deep water, and they can't throw the ball to get out of it. And we've seen that a lot this season. So for them, rather than me buy in and then wait to be disappointed, I'm going to hang back and wait to be impressed. That's how I'm approaching the Ravens this year.
Quickly, which of these bets would you make? I mean, for me, I would make two. I'd make the Packers at plus 550, and I'd actually make the Steelers at 20-1 because I like the high number. What would you make?
I'd play the Seahawks at 10-1. The defense is coming together at the right time. They've won the division. They've got the quarterback. They check all the boxes. And we talked about earlier not being a home field advantage. I agree if it comes to New Orleans. I disagree when it comes to a place like Seattle or Green Bay. Green Bay is going to have a distinct weather advantage, which you saw last night. I think Seattle can handle the weather. I'm not sure if Drew Brees and the Saints can. That's why I take a look at the Seahawks at 10-1.
That was Straight Talk from Straight Talk Wireless. No contract and no compromise. You know, finding great candidates to hire, Joe, can be like trying to find a needle in a haystack. You just can't find them. You could post your job to some job board, but then you got to hope the right person comes along. And how's that going to work? That's why you should try ZipRecruiter. It's powerful technology. Actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply for your job. And it's no wonder 4 out of every 5 employers post on ZipRecruiter, get a quality candidate within the first day. I'm not even sure what's wrong with the other employer that doesn't. See for yourself. Right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/max. That's ZipRecruiter.com/max. 888-SAY-ESPN. Which Super Bowl team would you gamble on? And Packers fans, do you believe in your team? It sounds to me like you don't. That's next on the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Monday Night Football tonight. Bills and the Patriots. Cam Newton, Josh Allen. Who would have thought that those years would have kind of flipped and maybe what you thought was going to happen and how they performed? It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm Matt Jones. Joe Fortenbaugh is with me. I wish you folks at home, one of the things I like to do when I get to fill in on these shows with professionals like Max Kellerman is tell people what happens behind the scenes. And Joe Fortenbaugh, my co-host here, is a big Philadelphia Eagles fan. And we got some producers in the back that are big Philadelphia Eagles fans. And listening during the break, as they all just start arguing about the Eagles, and it ended with this statement. One of the producers said, "The Eagles fans are the most informed fans in the NFL. And it was hard for me to stop laughing because the only thing I ever hear Eagles fans do are scream and yell at each other. So let me let you make the case, Joe. Are the Eagles fans the most informed fan base in football?
I would prefer not to touch that question. I would like to start with that. I would prefer not to answer that question. I would also like to point out that any argument amongst Philadelphia sports fans is the equivalent of a verbal knife fight. That's what it is.
Everybody just screams at each other.
Yeah, everyone's screaming and yelling. And the reality is most of the time they're not even arguing. It's just they scream and yell. This is how we talk. This is how we do it. Doesn't mean you have to like it. It's just that's how it's done. It is a verbal knife fight on a regular basis.
Who starts week one next year for them? Wentz or Hurts?
You got to trade. You got to get rid of Wentz at all costs at this point because you can't have the two of them in the building together. That distraction is going to be too much to overcome. But Wentz's contract is going to be damn near untradeable. Now, in terms of the Patriots or the Broncos or even a throwback to the Donovan McNabb trade on Easter, send him to Washington, who knows who'd be willing to bite. But I'd be careful with all the Hurts love because it looked good early when no one had any tape on him.
Yes.
And now you're starting to see more and more mistakes roll out on a weekly basis. There's upside, but I don't know if he's necessarily the savior just yet. We can pump the brakes on that.
That's how you know you're a big Eagles fan. If you remember the day Donovan McNabb got traded, it was on Easter. He remembers he was out picking eggs right at that time, and unfortunately it happened. It's time for our Monday Night Football preview brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Of course, it is the Bills and the Patriots. Bills trying to play for the best seed they can. The Patriots playing for absolutely nothing. We'll focus on the Bills, but I just want to quickly something on the Patriots. I have been surprised and disappointed in the Cam Newton year. I thought he would be better. Were you surprised by this?
I agree with you that coming into the season, I thought it was going to be better, especially after the Seattle game, Sunday Night Football. I think it was week
they
two.
Look great.
Those two
yeah.
teams got into a shootout. Then we kind of realized that Seattle's defense was so bad, everyone was going to put up numbers against them. Now, they've gotten better since, but that was the story for the first 10 or so games of the season. The problem in New England is they just lack talent. They don't have a lot of talent at wide receiver. They don't have a lot of talent at running back. The defense isn't as solid as it used to be. And that kind of got exposed. Newton was in a situation where he didn't have a lot that could help him. He wasn't able to make a lot of plays. And ultimately, they had a rough season. I think you could make the case that if we had never watched this dynasty unfold over the last 20 years, that Belichick got more out of this team than a lot of coaches would have gotten out of him. I'll tell you that much right now, because there is not a lot of talent on that team. But ultimately, it was a very disappointing season for Cam Newton.
For this game tonight, I mean, this is basically a game to ensure the Bills still have a chance at that two seed, which if you believe like I do, you're going to end up with Bills Steelers. You know, that might matter in terms of where it is, especially, you know, the Bills are going to get to have 7,000 fans, and that doesn't seem like a lot, but if there's anybody that could be loud, it would be Bills Nation up there. So this game is important. I also think it's important though, Joe, for the Bills just to say, you know what? The Patriots era is over. Like, we're going to go and we're going to stomp our foot on them, and that's it. I think that's partially what they want to have happen.
Yeah, 100%. I think the big question with New England heading into tonight's game is, what's the motivation? You know, this is the first time that they're going to miss the playoffs since 2008. So you've got to ask yourself, what's the mood in that locker room like? Now, if Brady were still there, I'm sure there'd be a level of motivation, but there's so much disappointment hanging over the organization. Who's going to show up tonight? You know, there's no Stephon Gilmore. He's out at corner. He's their best defensive player. And what Josh Allen and this offense have been doing to people in recent weeks, they've been obliterating them. Buffalo's covered the spread in six straight, and they're covering the closing number by 10.5 points. That is absolutely insane. In addition, Buffalo's the best first quarter team in the NFL in terms of differential. They're scoring in the first quarter, and then their defense in the first quarter. The Patriots rank dead last in first quarter scoring. So if Buffalo gets on them early, look out. Maybe Belichick's got a plan. He was able to keep it tight against these guys at the Ralph a few weeks back, but I don't know if I'd buy into that tonight.
They've owned him for a long time. I'm sure they'd like to do it again, but I don't think it's going to happen. That Monday Night Football preview is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs. For protection on the road and on the water, see how much you can save in as little as 3 minutes at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. Dwayne Haskins is done with the Washington football team. We will talk with a quarterback who's been through this exact same thing next on the Max Kellerman Show.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.